Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to the Upshift Podcast. We'd like to wish everybody out there a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. This is our Christmas episode. Me and Brian have a good time here like we always do. Talking about motorcycle parts, talking about Daytona that's coming up in 70 days, and all kinds of motorcycle talk. But again, we'd like to thank everybody for tuning in, everybody for giving us a like, share, and follow on our Instagram and on our Facebook. But enjoy this one, and we will see you in the new year. Thanks. The Upshift Podcast. And welcome in to the Upshift Podcast. Merry Christmas, Brian.
Merry Christmas. How are we doing down there today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Cold and windy, as I am assuming that it is at your house.
Yep, it is. Well, it's not as cold, but it is very windy out there today.
It is pretty bad here. Again, we always start off the Upshift Podcast with how much you have been riding your motorcycle, and I'm going to go ahead and say I haven't been riding, and I know you haven't been riding.
Nope.
Because the weather is unseasonably cold this time of year for us in December.
Yeah, it's about normal for us up here, and there has been no riding whatsoever. And like I said, I see those Instagram people that live in Florida, South Florida, posting pictures saying that they feel bad for us Northerners. They've got to put our bikes away for the winter.
Yes. But,
hey, I don't feel so bad. It gives us time to work on the bike, hang out in the shop.
Definitely. So there's a bunch of motorcycle parts underneath the tree, or have they made it out to the garage and on the bike?
Well, I think the boxes might be under the tree, but they'll be empty. The parts are already on the bike.
Yeah. Do you just buy things for yourself and write, you know, to Brian from Santa for a motorcycle?
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah.
I do too. Just, if my family listens to this, which I don't even think they do, they don't even know I do a podcast. No one's getting Christmas gifts but me.
Yeah, it's me and the Road Glide are the only ones getting gifts.
Same here. Yeah, just to let everybody know, if you tune in and listen, Merry Christmas. That's about all you're getting from me. But no, this is our Christmas episode. We have a lot to cover. This is Season 3, Episode 13. And we are finishing out the year with 13 episodes. So we will kick off January. With season 4, and we've got action-packed year for you.
Oh yeah, we got a lot of events planned that we're going to go to, and hopefully meet up with some listeners. And
yep. I sent out some stickers to some listeners from Tennessee. I'll not mention their names, but they know who they are, and I appreciate them listening in and reaching out and awesome. Telling us they enjoy the podcast. But just to give you a rundown, guess how many days it is till Daytona?
Oh, at least 70 days. I'd say 70.
70 days on the dot for me, but I know you're leaving early. So yep. What's the deal on that?
So, yeah, well, I'm leaving February 28th, and I'm driving from New Hampshire right down to Daytona. And then from there, we're going to stay the night, meet up with the friends, and then we're going to ride to Key West from there for a few days.
I hear you, Key West. Yeah. Well, yeah. Kind of wish I was there today, but yeah, so we're 70 days, a little less for Brian, when we kick off. Pretty much that's the kickoff for the bike weeks and, you know, the motorcycling throughout the country. But there's a couple Florida rallies in January. But, you know, the main thing for us is Daytona. Then you got Myrtle Beach, 139 days. Laconia, 169 days. The Harley-Davidson 120th anniversary, 202 days. Marked out on the calendar there in July. And then the granddaddy of them all, Sturgis, 224 days.
Ooh, yeah. And we got a big Harley-Davidson announcement coming up on January 18th. I'm excited to hear and see the new colors. And I've seen some pictures, but I don't know if those are going to be real. Have you seen those?
Okay, so I'm cruising around on the old YouTube. I had watched two or three videos, you know, just little rumors, and then I'll watch another one, and I'm not even going to say the guy's name because I really can't remember it, but I don't want to, you know, use the wrong, YouTube channel. But this guy breaks it down and he translates it from Chinese or Japanese. I can't remember. It's a foreign video that he's playing, and it's what they wish Harley would make.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that you talking about the Lowrider ST and the Blue Wave?
Yes. And the Screaming Eagle Road Glide with the 131.
Yes. It was a green. That's a Screaming Eagle. That's yes. That's really cool.
Yeah. So that, from what I'm gathering, and that was a short video, say like 10 minutes, he was talking about a video that people had sent him, and that was bikes they wish Harley would make.
Oh, okay. All right. So we'll have to wait.
That's what I got out of that. But, I mean, okay, so it's 120th anniversary. So we know there's going to be some type of anniversary paint. I don't know if it will be numbered like they were in the past, or it's just going to have a different badging. The only thing I see is the 120. You know, when you get on their Harley's website, it has a different font. But yeah. I see no logo.
Now, do you think there'll ever be another iconic badge like the 2003 anniversary, 100 year anniversary bikes? Because to me, that's the most iconic anniversary year. To me.
Yeah, to me too.
Yeah.
No, I mean, 100 years, that's a milestone.
It is.
So, you know, and I've been to all the anniversaries since then. And they've all been good, and the badging and the, you know, everything that goes on, I think is really awesome and really cool. But yeah, the 100th is my favorite, hands down, out of all of them. The 110 was pretty cool. I liked how they did that, the bronze and that gold. If you remember that, it was kind of a wing part. But yeah, the 100th to me, hands down, the best. And I've had a few of those, and I've had an 85th anniversary, which is 1988. I thought it was pretty cool. It was orange, black, and gold, but yeah, the 100th, hands down.
Yeah. Oh, so my 88 FXR is an anniversary model, but I don't think. I don't think it ever had the paint. I think originally that was like a green color. I don't think it was ever an anniversary paint.
Yeah, is the FXR, is it going to make it to Daytona?
I don't think so. Not this year.
Okay. Shovelhead?
The Shovelhead, no. But you know what? I've been starting to get Shovelhead fever almost. I'm actually sitting right next to it right now.
Really?
And okay. I'm thinking, since I have nothing else to do with the Road Glide, really, I'm just waiting for parts right now for the Road Glide.
Yeah.
Waiting for the bags to come back. And I don't know. I've been seeing some cool shovel heads on Instagram, and I might bring that up, put that on the lift, and kind of just start messing around with it. You know,
if you do anything to it, it's got to make it to Daytona for the you know, Willys and
I know
all the other shows. I mean, I'll ride behind you. So when it breaks down, I'll be there for moral support.
Yeah, I do have a. I remember one time. I've had a few times with taking the shovel head to Daytona. And we were doing the, you know, the famous loop.
Oh, yeah.
And so we were doing the loop. Everything was good. I was cruising, loving it. And then we were coming around the backside, almost back into the Daytona area. And I felt something fall off my bike, clinging, clanging. And I looked back, and there was, you know, a piece of chrome bouncing down the street. So I had to jump off, go get it. It was the battery cover. The big battery cover fell right off.
Then you had to go buy Advanced Auto and get a bungee strap and strap it to it. Yeah.
Yep. And let me take a look at it. And yep. The zip ties are still on it right now.
Oh, so you got zip ties. Okay.
Yeah, I got zip ties.
Zip ties will fix anything. Yeah. So, yeah, you need to throw some pictures of that up on Instagram.
Yeah, I will. Like I said, it's in my basement right now. So I took a few pictures. I'm going to throw it up on Instagram.
Yes.
And like that bike was inspired by the Japanese chopper scene. I just love what they do with their, because they love the old panheads, shovelheads.
Oh yeah.
I mean, most of the shovelheads are over there. You know, because nobody, it's a small crowd in U.S. that likes the shovelheads these days.
Oh yeah. Yeah, but, and talking about that, so we got it here in our notes. Will choppers make a comeback?
You know, I don't know if it's. They're making a comeback, or if I just miss working on the shovelhead, but I've been seeing, actually, I watched a video, a YouTube video about Biketoberfest this past year.
Yeah.
And the guy, Cycle Drag, I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah. So he was talking. He was seeing a lot more choppers at Biketoberfest this past year. So it's kind of, they might be making a comeback, you know, history does repeat itself. So
definitely. No, they've always been there. And just like going to the smokeout, I mean, there's some new bikes there and there's some, you know, new builds, but they're more choppers and a lot. I hate to use the word old school, but
yeah.
You know, if you go back 20 years ago and look at an Easy Rider, In the Wind, or the Horse Magazine, those bikes are still around and people still love them. I guess because there's not a lot of magazines now other than
Cycle Source
that promotes that. And then now that the Smokeout is back and the few chopper shows they have at Daytona and they have one in Sturgis, that, you know, it hadn't really left. It's just not out in the forefront. I mean, there's not going to be Texas choppers and American choppers and, you know, Bob's choppers and, you know, Bobby's chopper down the street. I don't think we'll see that.
No, I don't think so.
But, you know, we'll say they're somewhat affordable. I use that term loosely because I've seen some shovel heads that are priced out like a brand new Road Glide.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the shovel heads are going to come back a little bit. Maybe even we're going to see a bunch of Evo choppers, which would be cool.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's, we'll say, inexpensive, so to speak. A soft tail, you know, old heritage.
Yeah.
Honest, I see them right now, $2,000-$4,000 that are running.
Oh, yeah, like the 85, 87 mm-hmm. Soft tails, like the newer. Yep. Yeah, so those are coming back.
I can't. Well, I'm all for it. I mean, I would definitely have one. It would be, you know, a third, fourth bike. It would be nothing that, I mean, I'd take it to the Smokeout. I would, you know, load it up and, you know, take it to Daytona or something like that. I don't think I'll jump on it, and I may ride it to Myrtle Beach. I mean, it's not too far from where I live, but, you know, these guys that ride these things cross country, I love to watch it. Like the Traveling Chopper, do you follow him?
I don't.
You need to. This guy's traveled the world on a chopper.
Well, that's like Danger Dan, you know?
Yeah.
He's been everywhere.
Yeah.
But yeah, I used to love bringing my shovel down to Daytona and go to the Tropical Willies. Do you remember the, was it the Boogie East show?
Boogie East.
They had it at Annie Oakley's, which was...
Yep. Right there before you go under the bridge there at the in Ormond at the Harley shop.
Yep. So that was every Friday. I haven't heard anything, maybe because I'm just not into that chopper scene as much right now, but I don't know if that show is coming back or not.
Yeah. I know I have went to that over the years, not really knowing what I was at, but it was just a, you know, couple tents set up and some guys out there with some t-shirts and then a bunch of cool choppers because it's right there on the road.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can see it for a long way, yes. Yeah, that's we'll have to make a mental note of that and check that out. But
yeah,
dude, Daytona is going to be eat up with places to go and people to see and bike shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a lot going on. I'm excited.
I am too. But, yes, so – and talking about that, and we'll do an episode, like I said – we'll start off January, season 4, talking about Bike Week and the things that we do, but we'll kind of give you a little more in-depth of, I had some listeners reach out, and I'd like to thank them for reaching out and listening to us and giving us support. I mailed you some stickers out there to the great state of Tennessee, so thank you guys. But we'll kind of do a little deep dive on, you know, trailer parking, if you haul down, where to stay, where we stay, where, you know, kind of get a little bit more in depth of maybe you're a first timer, or maybe you've been before, but hadn't been in a long time and things have changed. So we'll definitely get January started off with that. So you can make your plans to get down there to to Daytona.
Yeah.
And we'll do a kind of a deep dive on all of them. You know,
yeah. The closer it gets, we'll give more information for sure.
Yeah. But in talking about that, the used bike market. So now we're pretty much into the winter months where we're not riding and people are, you know, let's call them fair weather riders. So they haven't actually been on their bike since May or June. And they're, you know, posting it up there on the old marketplace for sale. And I just, when me and you talk back and forth, texting back and forth about used bikes and things of that nature, a article popped up and I'm only going to use one thing. They said that the used bike market is down 12%.
I can see.
Okay. So then I see that. So I call a friend of mine and he's in the used bike business. And I was like, is it down 12%? And he's like, probably more.
Wow.
So, you know, we're not giving as much as we did on trades in the beginning, I guess, of the season is what he was saying. So, yes, the used, to me, and then in that article, 12%. I mean, I'm assuming they're doing that by auction.
Yeah.
Where they got those numbers. But. Yeah. Right now, marketplace is full of bikes from 2021, 22s. I've seen some brand new bikes, 300 miles, all the way down to, you know, the old Evos. So if you're looking for one, you know, it's cold weather right now. In some places, you can't get out because it's snowing 5.5 feet deep like it did in Deadwood.
Yeah,
did you see those pictures?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I don't know how you even survive and move around with, you know, 5 feet of snow. But so the used bike market. So, hey, if you're looking for a second bike or you're a beginner, you just tuned in and want to get in, what would you say is a good beginner motorcycle? Harley. We'll go Harley.
Yeah.
Just Harley. So this is your first Harley. Say you had a Honda or whatever. You learn how to ride. You're ready to take off, do some trips.
All right. I'd say.
What would be a bike, your recommendation?
I'd say if you can get like an older Super Glide.
Okay.
Or an old Dyna Lowrider. Something along those lines.
Okay. And the Dyna family, definitely.
Yeah, because those are definitely, you know, it's a little step up.
Twin cam.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, twin cam.
Okay.
Step up from the Sportster, you know, unless you want a Sportster, those are cool too.
Yeah, they're cool. One of my favorites, but yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, if you get a low rider, then you can do some traveling. You can do some riding with it. And, yeah, I mean, even an old, you know, a police bike, an old bagger.
Yes.
Yeah, those are affordable. I mean, they sell a lot of police bikes up here.
Yeah, see, all our state, they ride Hondas.
Oh, okay.
A few counties have Harleys. But, I mean, you know, very small counties. So, I mean, you never see those pop up for sale.
Yeah, we got a lot of the Road King, police Road Kings for sale up here.
Yeah, and I have seen quite a few of those. That'd be a good bike to get. My pick would be, depending on what you come off of, but say you had a Honda Rebel, you know, they make up to a 500. You wanted to jump up to, you know, a bigger bike. You said the Dyna, and I like the low rider, the Super Glide, but a good old Heritage Softail comes with the windshield, comes with the bags. You know, you got carburetor up to what, 04, 05?
Yep. Yeah, I think 05 is when they pretty much did away with them.
Yeah, and then you get into 06 with fuel injection.
Yep.
07, you get a 6-speed.
96, yep.
Good old twin cam. I have seen those bikes for sale for $4,000 to $5,000. That's not a lot of money for a motorcycle that you can ride cross country.
I agree.
So, I mean, if we're throwing out picks, I picked the Heritage Softail, and your pick is the Low Rider or Super Glide, which almost the same thing.
Same thing. I'd say that's Super Glide. But all right, let's just throw this out there. I got this from a listener too. So say he's going to buy a new bike. He's kind of new into bikes. He's going to buy a Super Glide or a Heritage Softail. You know, what do you look at first? You go to the guy's house. Do you look at his house? See if it's, you know, like,
yeah.
What are you looking at when you go to buy a used bike? What are your first thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, normally I'll send, if I'm looking at a bike, I'll send them my phone number and be like, hey, call me or send me your number. Let me talk to you.
Yeah.
Before I make the trip. You know, if it's across town, then, you know, I'll meet you here. Or most of the time, if people want you to come to their house, they're not ashamed of it.
That's true.
But I have been to places that I'm like, oh my goodness, this thing's been sitting out in the river. But yeah, on used bikes, buying from individual. I'll look in the surroundings, and probably one of the first things I ask is service records. Were you the first owner, second owner, third owner? Sometimes they'll pull out a big old file. I bought one from an engineer, and he had 3 files on it from day one he had owned it. Everything he had ever bought was in that file. When I sold my Road King, so the guy sent me the money. I ended up shipping him, just overnighting the title, because he had a guy coming to pick the bike up. And I have a file on the bike, and I sent every receipt with every part on there, because, you know, and the service records from my ownership. To me, that means something. And I told him that. I said, I've got everything that I've ever purchased for it. I have the receipt. It's still on the bike. You know, and here's the service record. So that means a lot to me.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. That means it's been taken care of, and somebody's actually taken the time and, you know, looked over it.
Definitely. And like I said, there is a ton of good used bikes. There's going to be more, because as the weather gets colder and we get deeper into winter, people aren't riding, and you can pick up a good bike. Yeah. And like I said, I know you look every day. I look all the time just to see what's out there.
Definitely.
I have seen a lot of Road Glides, Road Kings, Ultras, late model stuff. Like, it's crazy. I'm like, why would somebody buy? There's a new ST locally to me within an hour or so with like 800 miles, a Road Glide ST. And it is for sale. And it's I'm going off of memory, about $1,000 less than it is new sitting at the dealership.
Yeah.
There's a warranty with it. You can transfer that warranty.
Yeah, I don't know why would they buy it? I don't know. Maybe they bought it and then.
And the wife said no, or they're like, I don't like this. This is not for me.
Yeah, I don't get it.
I'll tell you what happens. And this has happened to people I know personally. The side-by-side market.
Oh.
I mean, I know you have a snowmobile, but that's because you live there in the frozen north where it snows, and that's fun.
Yeah.
But bored. Yeah. The side-by-sides have taken a lot of motorcycle guys and gals.
Yeah, because you can ride those down the street, down the trail, all year round.
Down the river, over the river.
Yeah, I mean.
Up the mountain.
You got a license plate farm. You've seen them in South Dakota, down near Sturgis. They're everywhere.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that here in our state. No, I've seen them up, because I live in a rural area, so I see them up and down the road quite a bit. Would you do, I mean, I know you love motorcycles as much as I do, and that's a huge passion and part of our life. Would you ever give all that up for a side-by-side?
No way.
Man, me neither.
I mean, I'd like, if I could have a side-by-side just to ride maybe in the rain or something.
have you ever priced one?
No, I've never. I know that Legends, they're huge making suspension for them.
Yeah.
And
makes a lot of parts.
Yeah. I've never priced one out. I've never even looked at one on Marketplace for sale.
Oh, I mean, I have seen them pop up in the groups that I follow, the stuff for sale here locally. But I was just talking with a friend of mine about one, and he knows a guy who has a brand new one, and he paid over MSRP for it, and now he wants to sell it. And I mean, he's into it really, really, really deep.
Yeah.
But yeah, that so I know quite a few people that have, you know, maybe their kids are getting older and they want something to do with them, and they get rid of the bike, and next thing you know, they got a side by side. And there are huge rallies for these things.
Yeah, I mean, you can get them a 4-seater. You could put the whole family.
Yeah, you can.
And go through the woods.
Yeah. Have you seen the, I don't know if you've ever watched any video, or there's a ton of YouTube stuff out there and things that I've seen just on Facebook and places like that, where they have the headsets with the communications in them and they're all talking to each other.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Just like, you know, the, like we have.
Yeah. I mean, it's just that they're out in the, you know, in the woods and on trails and things like that. And actually, there is a huge side-by-side rally in Sturgis out at the Buffalo Chip.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, in July.
That makes sense.
I get their email, and it popped up, and that's what made me even, you know, was looking at it. I was like, yeah, I don't – and knowing people, like I said, that have gotten out of motorcycles and went over to the side-by-side. But,
I mean,
if somebody wants to start a channel on that and do a podcast and a YouTube, that is huge.
Yeah, I mean, I can see where the – I mean, it is a lot of fun being out in the trails on four-wheelers and dirt bikes. So I can see where the attraction is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's...
I mean, it's... Yeah, not for me. That's not a thing that, you know, I would do it, you know, if somebody invited me and I, you know, do it for fun. But, no, I would never get rid of my motorcycles.
No.
Just have that solely.
No. So, well, let's dive into a little bit more. You going to look at a used bike.
Okay, yeah. We get off on tangent.
So I'm going to look at a used Harley, let's say, a lowrider.
Yeah.
And I pull into the house, you know, check it out, make sure, you know, it doesn't have engines sitting on the side of his house and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Just to make sure, you know, if you don't really know much about motorcycles, you kind of look at the motor, make sure maybe the bolts aren't rounded off, like they've had it apart before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of check, you know, wear points, you know, maybe... You know, get under there, see if the frame is bent, like they didn't bounce it off some rocks.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, but because, like I said, as long as it starts up, it sounds decent. There's nothing you can really do unless you take the bike apart or you bring a compression test with you and stuff like that. But most of the time, you just got to check the oil, make sure it has oil.
I guess Google's your friend. You know, Google, you know, how to. Unless you know, but, you know, how to check the oil cold. How does it, you know, check when it's hot?
Oh, yeah, true.
Is it on the side stand, or is it, you know, sitting straight up?
It's a
like I said, looking at the bolts. You know I've told this story on here. When I drove to Philadelphia to buy a Road Glide, and I get underneath it, and the bar that goes across, the cross member there, was bent, and it looked like someone took a hammer and beat it back, and all the paint was gone off of it. And I looked at the guy, and he had that look on his face. I was like, did you wreck this bike? He's like, no, never wrecked it. Bought it from a buddy of mine. I was like, did you slide down a curb on the frame? He's like, no. And then when we rolled it out, and I looked at the paint, and I said, did you paint the rear fender? He's like, no. I'm like, somebody did. Yeah, and then I got my money back, got in the truck, and went home.
Yeah, I remember that story.
Yeah. But, yes, I would – I mean, you're there. Take a flashlight. Lay down on the ground. Get underneath it. Look every – you know, if you're looking at a 10-, 15-year-old bike, there's going to be some oil somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And...
But, you know, I always ask them. I'm like, hey, don't start it up till I get there. And then a lot of times I walk up and I, you know, tap the pipe to see if it's cold or warm. And I remember going looking at one. It was a Sportster. And the guy must have just been sitting there just hammering down on it. Because when I pulled up, it was still cooling down. Tick, 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 tick. And he said, oh, I was just blowing it out for you. And I ended up buying that bike. It was a great bike. But, yeah, I guess you get a mental checklist. Hey, write it down. You know, and kind of go through. Okay, look at the paint. Look at the finish. There's a bunch of aftermarket parts. And here's where that gets tricky. Is it aftermarket quality parts like a Ciro or a Curiakin? Or is it Amazon parts.
Yeah.
Amazon lights, wires hanging out places, date codes on the tires.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good idea, definitely, to write it down, because I know the feeling when you get there. Say it's your first bike, first Harley. You get there and you see it, you're kind of going to be oblivious to all that little stuff because you're just so. Yeah. Well, that's how I am. I get so excited.
Yeah. 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 I want it. I want it. I'm.
Yeah. Yeah. You try to contain yourself, but then you get it home and you're looking at it and you're like, huh, I didn't see that. Huh. That's bolts missing. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the whole exhaust is hanging on by lip ties. Yeah. So I would make a checklist. I mean, I've bought so many. I'm no expert.
No.
But I just have in my mental note. I usually ask a lot of questions before I even go there.
Yeah. And definitely bring maybe a voice of reason with you, too.
Oh, you always. Yeah. Don't. And I've been a lot of places by myself, and, you know, truck, trailer, cash, and, you know, I've been in some, actually, what I went to look at a truck just a few weeks ago. I'm back on trucks. I need another truck.
Okay.
And we meet at it's a kind of a national chain gas station, and they have a meeting place for Marketplace. And it's lit up, and we're looking at the truck, and it's getting darker. And I just happened to look out of the corner of my eye, and there was all these people standing over there. And I'm like, who is that? And then I kind of step back, and my eyes focus. What's a bunch of bums? They live in the woods, and they were coming out.
Oh.
Because I guess they could hear us. And I told the guy, I was like, hey. And I pointed, and he's like, well, who's all those people? And then we kind of look around, and they're carrying all their backpacks. And I was like, well, they're not hiking because we're in the middle of town. So, you know, be aware of your surroundings. So if you're taking cash, yeah, always take a voice of reason.
Definitely.
Yeah. So what else do we need to throw in there?
I think that, I mean, that pretty much covers it.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's something else.
What you got?
You can Google... you know, a 2005 Heritage Softail, you know, MSRP. You can know what it sold for new, and then you could probably put in there, you know, retail value. Google will give you a number of different things. You can go on eBay and put in the same thing and go to completed listings and kind of see what the market is. I mean, you know, you don't want to go to the local dealership and say, hey, can you, what'd you sell your last one for? I mean, that, you know, they're in the business to sell you a motorcycle, not to help you buy one out there on the, you know, the open market. I'm sure there's a place, and I've found it, where you can see what went for at the last auction. And auction prices will go down now because of the time of year.
Yep.
So kind of get an idea of what that bike is worth. And if you're financing, your credit union or bank or whatever will give you what the loan value is.
Yeah. Well, and plus, if you're searching Marketplace, you kind of get an idea. If you're looking for a certain bike, you find a bunch of them on Marketplace, you kind of get an idea of what one's cheap, which one's overpriced.
Yeah. And here's another thing. I always want original paint.
Yeah. Original paint has come back. That's like a big thing.
Yeah. And I've sold bikes with custom paint. But yeah, I'm an original paint guy when it comes to, you know, buying used bikes.
I agree.
Because then, you know, who took it apart? You know, was it done? Because this is kind of a little running joke with me and the guys down at CNC Thunder. They're like, you know, a painter is not a mechanic. He fixes things. He paints things. He doesn't not necessarily take things apart the way they're supposed to be taken apart, like taking a tank and taking all of the working mechanisms out of that tank, the fuel pump, all of that, you know, taking the gauges out, you know, so you kind of want to know that. Does the fit and the finish look right? You know, you want to show up to a bike and look at it, and you sitting on it and looking at the fairing, and the speedometer's upside down.
Yeah.
You know? here's another thing while we're talking about speedometer. Does the miles match, you know, what he says or she says? Oh, I bought it 5 years ago. I've ridden it about 5,000 miles. So if they bought it new, then the title will show 0 miles. And if they bought it used, it's going to show up there it was used, and it's going to show the mileage that was there when they bought it. And in some states, depending on how old the bike is, it'll say exempt.
Yep.
So that you need to kind of watch for. And if the title is clear, or it's a salvage title, or I've bought bikes that I showed up and the guy's like, well, I owe money on it down here at the bank, so we'll have to go there. I was like, okay, no problem. Kind of would like to know that beforehand.
Yeah, right.
And then he's like, okay, so you, and this happened to me. I went in, we sat down. I'm like, hey, I'm buying this bike from him. And what I'll do is I'll give you what he owes on it, and then I'll give him the difference. But I want you to mail the title to me. When it gets to me, I'll find him and we'll sign it off. And it went smoothly and not an issue. But yeah, they're just little things. Hey, and if you're local and you want to go look at a bike, I'll go with you. I'll be your voice of reason.
Yeah.
If you're in New Hampshire, Brian will go with you. I mean, it's a big state, so. He's not going to the other end, or you might. I don't know. It depends on what time of year it is.
Yeah.
We will sell you a bike. Won't we?
Well, yeah. Eventually, one of them will come up for sale.
I mean, we're not in the motorcycle selling business, but I kind of like to buy them and play with them and sell them. And speaking of that, the Road King is out of my garage.
Yes. Yeah, so what, they sent the trailer down?
Yep. Yep. And they picked it up and he went straight back to Milwaukee.
Huh. It wasn't the guy that bought it. It was just like a driver for House of Harley.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, he works there.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was their guy. They was picking up, a few bikes in Tennessee or something. So
that's a pretty cool gig to have, you know, going around picking up bikes like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, you don't get to ride. You get to sit in a truck all day, but you get to look at them, talk to people, meet people. Still, I mean, no, not too bad.
No.
I mean, you drove a truck. I mean, it's fun, isn't it?
I think it is. I like pulling a trailer, you know, big tractor trailer, driving across country. I liked it.
Hey, well, okay, let's talk about that. When will you start getting all of your stuff together for the, that's 1,000 miles. No, how far is it to Daytona from your house?
Yeah, it's about 1,000 miles. Okay. Maybe a little more, 1,100 miles, I'd say.
So you'll start going over your truck, you know, checking the tires.
Yep.
Looking at everything.
I got a checklist on my phone. Like, so, you know, pulling the trail, I got to bring, you know, sockets, just in case I got a flat tire on the trailer, so I got to have the right sockets for the lug nuts, a jack. So I'll bring all that stuff. I got that all that stuff written down. And I'll check the tire pressure in my truck. I just changed the oil, so I'm good on that. I'll check the coolant level. And then, yeah, like I said, I'm leaving February 28th that morning.
Yeah.
So pretty much I'll have it all set that morning. I'll just get up and jump in and put on some podcasts and start driving.
Yeah, and there will be a new Bucky's for you to stop at in Florence, South Carolina on 95, exit 170.
Really? Is it right off 95?
Oh, you can't miss it.
I'm going there.
Yeah, exit 170.
All right.
And right across the highway from it is a Harley shop.
Oh, I like that.
So, hey, I mean, well, awesome stop.
For the first, like, 12 years that me and my buddy Edwin went down together, you know, we'd leave in the morning and we'd make it to Virginia area, and we'd always stop at a Hooters for dinner. That was a tradition.
Yeah.
And okay. I swear we never stopped at the same one twice. It was like, there was one specific Hooters that we found that we really liked. It was nice, good parking for the trailer and stuff. And we could never find it again. Like, we just never wrote down
the name.
We just never found it again.
Gosh, I hope gas is less than $5 a gallon when you take off. What is gas right now in New Hampshire?
Gas is actually coming down. I saw it for $3.11.
Really?
So, yeah. So, it's coming down. And they were saying that AAA or whoever does the gas thing, they were saying it's going to come down a little bit.
Good.
You know, and plus, you know, in the next year or so, it's going to come down a little bit for the election. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. Good. Excuse me. I will tell you this. The prices of the condos have went up significantly in Daytona.
Really?
Yeah. Not so much.
What are the gas prices in South Carolina right now?
What did I pay in the car yesterday? $330, $340
Okay, so it's close. Yeah, it's around. That's like, I'm just curious because I remember one year we went down and it was like $5 a gallon.
Yes.
And it was like I was going 55 miles an hour trying to save as much fuel.
Coasting downhill.
Yeah.
God, yeah, it's $340-ish. I know diesel's pretty expensive. I don't own a diesel.
I know.
I kind of look at it when I'm there. If I'm at a bigger, you know, station and I see it, because you know the big trucks will pull in. Yeah, I mean those guys, man, they are just getting railed on the price of that. But yeah, that'll be good. I tell you what has went up. This is funny, and I don't know if anybody cares. Harley t-shirts.
Really?
Out the roof. So I'm pretty much I'm got all I'm gonna get.
Yeah, I've been buying t-shirts from other little you ever heard of Forever Red?
Yes.
So Kyle, yeah, he's got a cool shop going. I think he's in
St. Louis?
St. Louis, yeah, I think it is St. Louis. I think yeah, Missouri. And he's got some cool tea. I like what he does. I like the I love that 90s coloring that he does on some of the bikes, and I'd love to do that to my Road Glide.
Yes, I do too. Yeah. So, and I like to support American made. I mean, you could call him right now on the telephone and talk to him about your bike, and you would talk to him.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have to go through 99 people.
Yep.
Just like when I bought my stuff from Hoffman, I called directly to them, talked to them, told them what I wanted. They're like, "We'll put this quote together, send it to me." Boom. And that stuff is on its way. I can't wait to get that stuff.
Oh, I can't.
Talking about motorcycle parts. This can be parts that you have, parts you want. What motorcycle part do you, and like I said, you've already opened up most of your gift. But I know there's one or two out there because I bought myself something. I just saw it and I'm like, click, bought, boom, it's already here. I haven't opened, I've looked at it. But what about you, Brian? What parts are under the Christmas tree for your motor? Hey, it could be the shovel head. It could be the FXR.
Yeah, what do you got? The only part, so I told you, I bought those chop bags.
Yes.
And I took my rear fender off and I chopped my rear fender.
It looks good, by the way.
It looks so cool. Even without the chopped bags, it looks so cool. You can see the rear tire. I like that look. And but a part that I'd like under the tree would be a new seat.
Okay.
I like something about that drag specialty seat. It's not really comfortable. It looks good. Okay. But I want something with more stitching. I like the diamond stitch, you know?
Okay. So what have you been looking at?
Oh, it's funny because Lucky Dave's.
Oh, yeah. I got the email too.
Yeah. They just came back in stock, and I was like, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas to me.
So I know. So, but the only bad thing is before they were, it was a black seat with gray stitching, gray double stitching.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, that would be perfect for my bike with the gray stitching. But when they came back in stock, now they're black with black stitching, same double diamond stitch, but it's only black. It's the black thread.
Okay.
So I'm like, I don't know. I mean, I like my bike to have a little bit of flair to it, a little bit of, you know. So actually, that's you know what would be nice to have under the Christmas tree this year would be a gift certificate to Roach Customs to do some pinstriping on my bike down in Daytona.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna, because he usually sets up down in a destination Daytona, and I think Roach Customs. And I'd like to go like on a Monday morning, you know, when it's before the rally really gets going.
Yeah,
and I'd like to go down to him and see if he can just match the pinstripe that's already on my bike, and kind of I don't know, either put some numbers on the saddlebags or do something. Not necessarily pinstripes, you know what I'm saying? I don't want like a pinstripe, like an old school.
Yeah, no, I got what you're saying.
Yeah, something throw some 90s pink colors or something that goes with the whole.
Yeah, that will pop. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking I might, you know, go down to him.
Okay. Well, you can't go that Monday because there is a new show happening Monday.
Yes. Oh, that's right. So, yeah, it's going to have to be Tuesday because the hang.
Or you can go, I don't know when they set up.
I know. I wonder, well, I'm going to be in Key West, so I'm not going to get back to Daytona until that first Saturday.
Okay. Yeah, so I'll be there that Friday.
Yeah, and then Sunday's the hardcore cycle show. Now, have you seen anything? Are they going to do the skinny tire bagger build-off again? Have you seen anything about that?
I haven't seen anything on that.
Okay. I thought I saw a poll where they were saying, do they want to keep it? Because last year they had it was like a $15,000
limit. Yeah.
Limit, overall limit. And I think, I swear I saw a poll where they were talking about that, if they should keep it at that or they should just have it be whatever.
Yeah.
But so I think it might still be going on.
I wish I had a soft tail build.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
That would be cool.
I hope they come back. I hope soft tail, not necessarily choppers, but, you know, a cool stripped down heritage with some, you know, cool looking fenders. And I guess because you could put a lot of chrome and a pretty cool paint job, you know, and there's not a lot to paint. So, you know, I just like the flames. I really do. I like flames. Always have. I like the real flames. I like the strapped out flames. I just like flames. They're cool.
I like
get back whips and flames and mixed, but I like flames.
I do like flames. I don't like the real flames. I mean, maybe on a car, but for motorcycles, the real flames don't do it for me.
Okay.
Oh, maybe, you know what? Maybe I can have them put some on the saddlebags, come a little bit of flames. I don't know. Yeah.
Or you could get the Upshift logo put on one of the bags.
Yeah, I definitely do that.
Nah, we'll get you a sticker.
Yeah,
we'll get you a big old sticker. So your bike's pretty much done, other than your bags. You're waiting on your bags.
Yep, they're at the paint shop now. So yeah, okay. Got them. I fitted them up. I taped up my rear fender and, you know, cut it where I liked it, and then I brought the bags right down to my buddy, and he's gonna paint them up. So once I get them back, I just got to throw my lids on, and that's it. Then the Road Glide's pretty much done. That's why I was thinking about taking it off the lift and putting the shovel head on the lift and kind of tinkering with that.
Okay. Well, the bag latches, are you keeping those chrome?
Yeah. I like chrome. I'm embracing the chrome on that bike. Yeah.
No, I like chrome too.
Yeah. So keeping that chrome, and then, you know, I added the chrome, the rear the crash bar for the saddlebag, you know, because the 07s, they don't come with it.
Yeah.
I don't think the 06s do either.
Oh, okay.
That front bar.
The loop that comes down and the bag savers.
Yeah, exactly. They don't. So I put those on chrome.
Okay.
And yeah, and like I said, that's the only thing. Once I put those bags on, I think the only thing that I would change right now would be the seat.
So have you bought the Lucky Dave seat for yourself for Christmas?
No, I did not. I did not buy it. I don't, just because it doesn't have the right thread color.
Okay.
I'm gonna wait.
You think you'll hold out and see something in Daytona?
I'm hoping so, maybe.
Yeah, I want a seat for my bike, but what I want underneath the tree for me, and I'm probably going to buy them, is I want some Screaming Fab side covers.
I do. Those would look cool, too. I like those.
And I want them polished, not painted.
Yep, I agree.
They just look so cool. It's just the way they're on there. I love those parts. I like the handmade aspect of parts.
Yep.
They just look good. It fits the bike. It just gives it a nice profile. It just looks good. The more I sit there and look at the carbon fiber, I like them how that design is, but then just my taste up against the Screaming Fab, how it's almost a perfect triangle, so to speak. It just looks so clean, and it's supposed to be on there.
I agree. And it's almost like my bike, my Road Glide, should have those, because, you know, with the cut, with my cut bags, that reminds me of the clamshell bags on the FXRs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wanted the cut bags, because I just love that clamshell look. It almost looks like the police bags too, with it, you know, kind of squared off on both sides. And so, like, FXR side covers would just be a good choice. And he does make them for my year, and he has some. And
I saw that. I thought of you. When I saw that.
I think I'd rather have those than a new seat. So maybe I might have to make an order.
Yeah. Well, you may have to get the old wild ass seat cushion and throw on your Road Glide for the trip to
Key West.
Key West. Or I'm sure, and all the people we know, somebody out there has got a touring seat you could throw on there.
Oh, yeah. I still have my original seat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I wonder if I should bring that now. That thing looks, I don't know.
Yeah, they just, the Mustang looks pretty good. They do make a Saddleman Super Tour for that bike.
Is that the seat? You're going to get the Road Sofa for your bike?
I am. I'm going to get that one. And I was looking at the LaPera, the kickflip.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. It's funny. I watch a YouTube channel, VP Customs.
Okay. I'm going to write that down.
Yeah. VP Customs. And he just bought he's got a couple of night train. Him and his wife, they got a couple of night trains. He's got a Dyna. And he just bought an 05, I think he said it was. 05 Road Glide. Really clean. And he's been doing little things to it. He just put some thrashing floorboards on it. But it's a pretty good channel. And he just bought a Saddleman step-up seat.
Oh, yeah.
And it looks really cool on there. But, like, you know, he's still got the stock handlebars.
Mm-hmm.
And when his wife looks, she looks shorter. And when she sits on it, it's, like, perfect for her with those handlebars.
Yeah.
So that's the thing about the Saddleman. I think it pushes you up too far. So I might message him and see what he says.
Okay.
It looks like he's, like, my height.
Okay. So,
It's just so tough with seats and handlebars.
I know.
You really got to sit on the bike. And
yeah. And see, when you're down there in Daytona or Sturgis, you pull your bike up, they'll put that seat on there.
No, yeah, that's a good idea. I might.
And, you know, I didn't ask if they would let you ride them around town. I know that Mustang will.
Yeah.
I'm assuming if you thought, here's my credit card. Here's my, you know.
Here's my old seat.
Go ahead and, you know, pay for it. And if I don't do it, we'll refund or whatever, so you don't steal the daggum thing. I know, you know, Clockworks will put the windshield on there and, like, take off.
Yeah.
And then come back. And, you know, I've heard Brian tell the story that he's only had one guy, I think, that didn't pay for it, and then maybe like a year or two later he ended up paying for it or something. But you'd have to go. He's been on a few podcasts and he's told that story. And one day we'll have him on our podcast. But
I think we're going to start introducing some guests to our podcast.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, there's a local guest that I'm going to have on here.
Yep.
And I've already told him. And we've got to figure out a way to patch Brian in from New Hampshire. And we're going to have my old buddy Chris from CNC Thunder here in my hometown of Cowpen, South Carolina. Have those guys on here to talk about their 25th year in business as an independent motorcycle shop.
Nice. Yeah, and I'd like to have one of my friends, maybe I can get a friend down here, my buddy Edwin, that comes to Daytona every year with me, and just kind of get his perspective on Daytona.
Yeah. You
know, we love it. I know he loves it too, but he might have a little.
Yeah, he might look at it a little different. Maybe he. How long have you been going to Daytona? How many years? I know we've probably said this, but.
Yeah, so 03, so 05, so 15. This will be like my 17th year going.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm coming up on right at 20.
Yeah. So yeah, we've been going about the same
time. About the same. Yeah. Not 99. I think I missed one or two. I didn't go last October.
I can't even talk about dates. I'm getting excited right now.
Me too.
About going to all the vendors. Spending.
Yeah. Oh no, man. I'm excited. Okay. So let's get back to.
Yeah.
So this is actually a part under the tree, and it's already here.
Okay.
I've seen it, and it's not at my house. It's still down at the shop, but I got the thrashing top tree.
Oh, you did.
Oh man. So they sent me a picture of it. And I was in the middle of working here, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. And I just stopped and just stared at it. And then I go down there later that day, and I'm actually going to stop by there today, and man, the I've had a lot of thrashing parts, and the quality, and oh man, it just looks, man, that thing looks awesome. I cannot wait to get it on the bike.
Did you get the polished one or the black one?
Polished.
Awesome. Yep.
Yeah, I'm going all polished.
All right. So, all right, we haven't really talked about your bike. So let's. So what stage is your bike in? Like,
it is not as we speak, but not soon after we'll be getting up on the lift and having the front end done on it. The bags and the inner and outer are going to be taken to paint.
Okay.
I've got to, the only part I really need is the gauge relocation. Got to do that because I'm not using the radio.
Yep.
And I've got to figure out about the controls. What if I'm going to, they're black right now. And I'm running everything on there as, you know, raw, polished. What to do on those controls. I think chrome will look okay. And I think black would look okay. But I don't know. I've looked at a couple different mirrors. I really like the Arlen Ness mirrors. And I even like the stock Harley mirrors.
Yeah, I like the stock Harley mirrors.
That is kind of questionable what I'm going to do with the controls.
Okay.
I just don't know right now. So they're probably going to be black, and then once everything's done, if I can switch them out to chrome, that'd be pretty quick.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Or I do know a guy who has a set, and I may get those and powder them, do a couple little test things just to see. But more than likely, I'm just more leaning chrome. Once I saw the top tree, and then when I get the risers, I'll kind of know. I just don't want it to clash.
I agree.
But, hey, I've seen bikes that had red controls, black grips, and painted bars with chrome risers. And when you looked at the whole bike, it looked great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, it's what you want.
Well, that's the thing. You can buy a bunch of cool parts, but they're not necessarily going to work with the bike. So you kind of, you got to, it's a little bit of trial and error, you know?
Yeah. 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 But I think everything I've ordered so far will work. Yeah. And we're coming down. I mean, you know, we're just 70 days away. So
it's going to be done though, right? It's got to be done.
It's got to be done. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to get there unless I'll make it my way to 95 and you can pick me up at Bucky's. I'll just ride in the back of the truck. You may have to bring the FXR. I may have to ride the old Heritage.
Yeah. Hey,
I don't even want to talk about that.
Well, that's an option. If you wanted to go to Key West with us, you could, because I'm going to have an extra bike. I could pick you up along the way. Oh, no, I couldn't, because you'd have to bring you a bike. No, all right, scratch that.
I would love to go, and maybe not. I just, there's so many things I'm going to be doing next year that, you know, I do have a job. Because I have to work.
Yep.
I'm not, you know, independently wealthy, and the podcast is not up there making the big bucks like some podcasts do. Does anybody make money podcasting? We're not doing it for money. We're doing it for fun and the love and passion of motorcycles.
Yeah, I think people do it, get money out of it, but hey.
Yeah. But speaking of that, I want to, and I thank you every time we get on this podcast, but you came on and we have just, to me, went through the roof with numbers, and I'm not about numbers, but I like when people download it and I see them like, wow, there are that, you know, 100 and something people listen to this podcast. Thank you.
It's pretty cool.
And it's, man, you came on this thing with a different perspective, which we both love motorcycles, but we collaborated, I'll use that big word, and put something together that I truly enjoy doing. And I want to publicly thank you. You are a dear friend of mine who I've met through motorcycles, and we've come together on this little podcast that we call the Upshift, and we just have a good time, and it just keeps getting better.
Yeah, I agree. Well, thank you. And I appreciate you giving me the chance to come on here with you and talk my love for motorcycles, because like you said, we both have a different perspective. We like the same style, but we kind of come from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
So we meet together with motorcycles and we discuss all sorts of parts. Some parts I don't like, some parts you don't like, but hey, it's all motorcycle related and I love talking about it.
It's all good. We've made a lot of milestones. I mean, we took on our first partnership, IndyRidgeUSA.com. We are running their gloves. We are running their boots. And that is an awesome partnership. I love it. I can't wait to try more of their stuff and show it to you, the listeners, when you run into us and we post stuff on Instagram. The interaction that we have on, actually, we have quite a bit on Facebook interaction, and the interaction we have on Instagram. I love that. It's not about us. It's about motorcycles. Yeah, we might throw up a picture of us, next to the motorcycle, but, it's all about the motorcycle. And it's just fun. It's fun. And this year has been great. My Daytona kind of started off a little rough. Didn't get to ride down there.
Nope.
So I am, fingers crossed that everybody is healthy, that we have a good time, throw on a bunch of miles. Fingers crossed Brian gets to go to Milwaukee with us and to Sturgis.
Yep, it's in the plans.
Okay.
So, I know.
Laconia is going to be big for us. I think I'm going to be there 5 days this year.
Awesome.
And again, Daytona, we keep talking about that. Milwaukee's going to be fun. It's going to be hot, which I don't mind. I will not complain about being hot.
Nope.
Will not complain about getting out, riding my motorcycle, and having fun.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good year, and we're going to kick it off at Daytona, because like you said, last year your Daytona wasn't great. My Daytona wasn't great because of the Cop Glide giving me issues, but I think we're going to have some good running road glides this year. And we're going to meet some listeners. We're going to get some new products put on the bike. We're going to experience it all.
Yeah,
food, people, whatever, everything
motorcycles
about.
Yeah, definitely. But we have talked and talked and talked, and we hope and pray that everybody has a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and you will see us sometime right after the New Year, starting off with a good old podcast. Me and Brian will get together. Hopefully he will have better weather. Actually, it's supposed to be 61 degrees New Year's here.
Oh, boy.
So I'm going to get out and be on a motorcycle.
Well, that'll be nice. Let me know if you do.
Yep. But again, I'd like to say, wish you and your family a Merry Christmas, Brian, and all of our listeners a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Yes. Happy holidays to you, Brian, and everybody that listens.
Awesome. Well, we are the Upshift Podcast, and we thank you for listening.